It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Luke, chapter 16, we are going to start from verse 1.
And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed.
Okay, now here we see Jesus Christ giving the story or parables about the rich man. Last week, if you remember, he gave several parables, and the last parables we saw the prodigal son. Now here also we learn about the money management. Now this is a rich man, his name is not given. He has the steward, means a manager, keeping charge of his money. And now this man, means the rich man, got the news from somebody. And the news was like this, your steward, your manager, is not doing proper job. He is stealing your goods. He is doing something wrong. This kind of rumors your enemy can bring. Even though you might be doing good job, but somebody, they want to take your job, so they go to your boss and complain about you. So the boss's job is to check thoroughly before they can fire somebody. Don't listen to somebody and just make a decision. You have to think, if this man or this person is working with me for this many years and my business is doing okay, then I want to find out who is complaining. And secretly, he should be checking his account before he could talk to his stewards. The rich man, he comes and tells this man, I heard some rumor or complaints about you. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take your job away from you. And so I want all the account straightened out. Now this manager looks like not a bodybuilder. He might be skinny and very weak person, because he's always working with money and he never worked hard work in the field. So from his talk, I believe this man was honest before his master accused him. Why? Because if he was doing something wrong and cheating the money, he would not have any problem. He says, I cannot dig, means I cannot do hard work. And he said, not only that, I cannot even beg. I'm ashamed to beg because I was an officer. From this I gathered this man was not having secret account or stealing the Lord's money, his master's money. He was almost honest up to this time. He was a good man. But sometime when you accuse people, and the worldly people, when keep on accusing, they said, if they accuse me, I didn't do something, so I'm going to do wrong anyhow because they are accusing me, I didn't do anything. But this person is weak. He never did hard work. And he never begged to somebody money. He started thinking. See, when you're losing your job, it's not a good thing. What I'm going to do and where I'm going to find a job. And some people, sometimes they kill themselves. They say, I cannot handle this. But this man got an idea. He said, what I'm going to do, if I lose this job, somebody should take me in their house. He may not have a good house either. Maybe living in an apartment. So he says, I'm going to do something good to my master's clients. And so they will like what I'm going to do. And they might keep me in their house. So see what he got the idea. Luke chapter 16, verse 4.
I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord?
He called every one of the Lord's clients. Here give only two examples in this chapter. He didn't have only two debtors. He might have many, hundreds or thousands. From these scriptures, sound like this man was very rich, because Jesus started with the rich man. You can see several kinds of businesses he's doing. And so now he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to call everyone and reduce their debts. And so he's going to reduce that amount. And what he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to reduce this. And so reduce amount. Now you might be paying a 5% or 10% interest on this. When I reduce $50,000, give me a 5% or 2% interest. And so the man will be happy. And so he helped his debts and asking him very less amount. It's not given here, but that's the idea behind it. Let's read verse 6.
And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50.
Now here it says, how much you owe to my master? He says, 100 measures of oil. Now it might be barrel, maybe gallons. But whatever it is, 100 measures of oil. Now, what oil is doesn't say, because in those days, they didn't have gasoline. This is talking about 2,000 years ago. So just think that oil was olive oil. So olive oil is very expensive. Now this man says, whatever the price is not given, so the 50% reduce. So the debtor might be very happy. 50% of my debt is gone. And you might have made a deal with him. 50% I'm going to reduce. Take your bill, write it down, 50%. And so that man might be happy. And now he calls another one. Let's read Verse 7.
Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80.
Okay, now he said to another person, How much you owe to my master? He says, 100 measures of wheat. Now, can you imagine, this is a wheat. Wheat is very expensive. And oil is expensive. So he got also 100. So he said, okay, you make it to 80. Make it 80, and the other person, he says 50. Now, he got a very good deal. Now, he gave only examples of two people. But there might be hundreds and thousands of other people. And so you can see, within an overnight, this manager who was going to lose his job became a millionaire. He's a smart man. And even though his master comes to know, he's not afraid of master, because other people are going to fight for him. He's not one or two people now. He's going to do favor to everybody, so they will like the manager and they will hate the boss. So he got a good idea. And somehow his master comes to know and see what master says, means his boss says.
And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light.
Now here he says, his Lord, means his master, his boss, found out what he's doing. But he could not change anything, because he changed everything on the computer. And everything looks like an original. And so the master could not do anything, because master could not keep a track of every person. He was depending on his steward, manager. The manager changed everything in the computer, and boss could not do anything, even though he came to know. And if he says, okay, do change it to the way you want it, master would not know how to change it. Some of the people do not know the computer, or even though in those days, the bookkeeping was not easy. Servant would have said, this manager would have said, sir, boss, if you think I made a mistake, you go and find out the record. And every record looks the original. So he could not say anything, but he knew he did something, but he did very wise things. So he commanded him, oh, you are a good man. You are a wise man. You did a wise thing. See, he was not afraid. What is he going to do? He already gave me notice. I'm going to lose my job. What am I going to do? He might keep him back. It doesn't say in here. He might have said, okay, you are a good man, I'll keep you back. Or he might have said, go. Either way, this manager is not going to lose her anymore. Why? Because he became rich now. So Jesus Christ says, this man looked like a very smart man. So Jesus Christ is saying, in this world, the worldly people are very smart. But actually, they are not smart. What are they? Crooked. Crooked smart. Lying smart. They know how to cheat. They are expert in cheating. They are expert in lying. So that's why those people are smarter. He says they are wiser than the children of light. Who are the children of light? We are the children of light. We are the children of God. Then somebody says, are they smarter than us? They are smarter than us in a business. They are smarter than us in a cheating. They are smarter than us in doing something wrong. If they say lie, you cannot hardly figure it out if they are lying, because they are master of lying. We cannot do those things. So he says they are smarter, they are wiser than the children of light. But what the Bible teaches, go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and start reading from verse 26 to 30.
For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Now here is saying, to the serving the Lord or doing the Lord's work, not the wise people called, not the mighty people called, not the kings and the big millionaire, they are not called to the serving the Lord. Please read.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Now what is trying to say? God has called the weaker vessels, the weak people. And he says, we were not mighty people, financially or any other way. You go and search every minister. Go and search Wal Robert, Billy Graham, T.L. Osborne, on all the big ministers. They were not rich. They were all ordinary people. But when God called ordinary people and they can shine for the glory of God, when God puts his power, his wisdom in us, then we are smarter than anybody else. Please read.
And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
See what he says? When you are in Christ Jesus, God gives you his wisdom. He makes you smarter than anybody else. Some people say, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the degree, I cannot serve the Lord. There are people going to Bible college for 12 years. And if they are not born again, if they are not saved, they look like foolish. But if you do not have any degree, and if you are born again child of God, and sincerely you are reading the Word of God, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be wiser than anybody else. Go to the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
Who is the wise person? Whoever wins the soul, that person is a wiser than any other person in the world. Because it takes the courage, it takes the wisdom, it takes the Bible knowledge to win souls for Christ. It takes the purity to win the souls. If you are smoking and drinking and your life is miserable, you are lying and you are cheating and you are a bad person, you cannot win souls. They can see on your face. You are a deceiver. You are a hypocrite. They don't want to come to the Lord. But when you're living a pure and holy life, people looking at you, they start shivering. They fall on ground. They don't argue with the man of God. We don't have to be afraid of anybody because our boss is Jesus Christ. And he has given his wisdom, his grace, his power. So we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here the word of God says, you want to be wiser? Win souls. Start winning souls. In the God's calendar, you will be wisest person in the world. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 9.
And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.
Now here is saying, make friends with the perishable money. The money always perishes. Money will not be staying with you. When you go to heaven, you keep everything what you have on this earth. So he says, make money as a good usable tool. Use money for the good reasons. What is the good reason in this world? Use money to win souls. We just learned, if you win souls, you will be wise. So what do? Use your money to winning souls. How do you win souls? Somebody will say, some minister or some television people will say, you cannot go to Africa, you cannot go to India, you cannot go to prison. Give us money and we will reach. And so the people say, okay, I'm going to pour my money, sow my money in the kingdom of God. And the word of God says, wherever your money will be, there your heart will be. And doing something good with your money, then your heart will be always there. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
See, wherever treasure is, there your heart will be. That's why he says, make the friends, go back to the Luke chapter 16, verse 9. He says, make the friend with this perishable money. So what will happen in the everlasting habitation, they will invite you. Somebody say, how it works? Just think, you start winning souls in different countries and different neighborhoods. You spend the money. You gave them food. You invited them to come to church. And you help them to grow in the Lord, and they died before you died. And so what happens? When you go to heaven, they welcome you. Oh, you are the one brought us to Christ. Welcome home. That's what he's trying to say. When you help somebody with your money, and some people may die before you, and some people will go to heaven before you, so they will welcome you. They will be very happy that you are the one try to win their souls for Christ. Okay, Luke chapter 16, verse 10.
He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much.
Now he is giving an example. If somebody is not faithful for little thing, means if he's doing business and one penny here or there in account got problem, what's the problem? It's just a penny. And if he does the business like doesn't count that penny. That the person next time is a $1 is missing, he says, what's a dollar? And then that's the person if it's a $1 million business doing and 10,000 missing, what's a 10,000? So what he's trying to say, if you are faithful for little thing, then you will be doing faithful things for the much things. You can see in our language, there he says that you can see the child's feet in the playpen, what kind of child he'll be. So the same way when you dealing with some person, he is lying with you or cheating. In this world, it's very easy. People lie all the time. You say, how old are you, ma'am? And if she's 50, she say, I'm 35. Or if she's 90, I'm just in my 70s. Point I'm making, don't lie. If you lie about your age, that means you are lying about many things. Simple as that. Here is saying, if you are not faithful for little thing, then you will not be faithful for many things. If you are not doing your account correctly in one thing, then you will be missing in many things. So if person lies you for his age, or for his salary, or for his job, you have to think this person is a liar. If you lie for one time, you are a liar. If you cheat one time to somebody, you are a cheater. Let's read the verse 11.
If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?
Now here is saying, if you are dealing with somebody's money or accounting, and if you are not doing the right kind of account, he says, who will give you in your trust the true riches? Gambling money or prostitute money or something. That is not a good money. Or a liquor money. It's not a good money. It's like somebody's blood money. It's not a good money. So he said, if you are not faithful for that kind of money, who will give you the good treasure or good kind of trust you for the good? Because he said, this person is not faithful, whatever the business he does, so nobody will hire you for a good kind of a job. And verse 12 is saying a little bit more. Luke 16:12.
And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?
Now here again he's saying, you are doing business with another person. And you are a steward or you are a manager in that company. And if you are not doing faithful job in that company, then somebody say, oh, this is not my money. This is not my company, so I don't have to worry about that job. He says, you know, if you're not doing the job properly, what is somebody else's, how you will be given your own money? Now somebody says, I don't understand this. Now this is like this. Just think, your father, he is a businessman. And he kept you to do accounting or something. Or you are doing accounting in some different form, and not with your father. And your father come to know that you are cheating and lying and not keeping a good account. And you are wasting somebody's money. And then father says, you know what? I wanted to give my son his own money. But now I cannot give it to him. If I give it to him, he will do like a prodigal son. He will waste all my money, even though I'm going to give it to him, his own money. So, but his father will not trust him. That's what it is. Read that verse one more time.
And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?
See, it's your own money, but you will not get your own money because you are wasting somebody's money. So his father is going to say, I'm not going to give it to him right now. If I give it to him right now, he will be wasting this money, so he will not give it to him his own money. That's what the meaning is. Okay, let's read verse 13.
No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Now here is saying, you cannot worship the money and worship the God. Now, today, the worldly people, their God is their money. And so they love the money more than God. And so here the word of God is saying, if you love money so much, you cannot serve the Lord. And then somebody say there are ministers have $100,000, $200,000, $500,000 salary, plus they have their own planes. How can they serve the money and the Lord? They are not serving the money. They are serving the Lord. Once you serve the Lord, then the money comes after you. But you go after the money, then you will running after the money until you die. And you will never be satisfied. You got a job with $100,000, you want a $500,000 job. You got a business with $100,000, you want $500,000 business. And you want more and more and more and more. And you will never be satisfied. But if you're going after God, God will bring the money to you. Other day, one man calls and he says, Pastor Peter, I'm not giving anybody's name. He says, Pastor Peter, you did so much for me. You prayed for me. I got healed many, many, many times. But I never gave you anything. I never gave anything to your ministry. I'm thinking to give something, tithes and offerings to you, even though I don't come to your church. I said, sir, if you are living in California or Florida, I cannot force you to come to church. But if you're living in New Jersey or Delaware or New York or some closest place, I would say at least once in a while, come. But the point I'm making, I said, listen, I'm not after your money. I'm after your soul. But he said, I want to be thankful what you have done for me. So the point I'm making, I'm not even asking the person to send me some money. People are calling and say, I want to give you something. So the money comes after you. You don't go after money. When you go after money, you will be always empty and empty. There are people making a lot of money, but there is like a hole in their pocket. They cannot save the money. And so the word of God is saying, you cannot serve the Lord and the money. And then he gives another example. Let's read 14.
And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God.
Now here, when they listening, the Pharisees, they heard Jesus Christ is talking about money, and whoever going after money is not good. There are people who are not serving God, but they are serving the money. And some people didn't like what Jesus Christ was saying. So what they start doing, they start sneering at him, ridicule him, and start making fun of him, and laughing at him, and trying to make him some kind of a bad person. And so Jesus Christ is saying to them, you know what? What you people are doing, you are justifying yourself before men. Means you are trying to show somebody, I'm righteous. I'm a godly man.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.